Hi, I'm Brett Robinson. Welcome to the Redeeming Hope Podcast, where we share biblical truths that'll give you real hope. What is real hope? It's a hope that is relevant, energizing, authentic, and linked to Jesus.
It's such a familiar thing to talk about the presence of God, and yet it's not that familiar to live in the presence. And, after Brett had shared, while he was sharing, I just picked up a couple of little things, and as we were commenting, I felt we should focus on them a little bit more, because in all of our lives, the key is the presence of God. And so often in our lives, and people that I know that we've been dealing with often have said to us, you know, I'm walking with Christ, but I'm under attack, continually under attack. This pressure, this struggle, this thing, and we're under attack. And always this is a sort of thing that we're playing with, you know, Lynn and I in our ministry, because we always talk about being positioned for blessing. But it really comes out of that sermon. So if you can remember the story, Jesus had just had multiplied the loaves and the fishes and fed 5,000 men besides women and children. So it had been the most amazing miracle that had taken place. And as soon as that miracle was finished, Jesus says to them, now get in the boat and go to the other side. He says, while he stayed and cleared up everything and attended to everything, so that he then could go and have a quiet place, into a quiet place with the Father and find the presence of the Father. So now they get into the boat and they travel across, they start traveling across to the other side. But now this is the key thing. When we, you know, this disciples had experienced this amazing miracle of feeding 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. They get into a boat and there's an immediate storm and they're terrified. And so often we do this as Christians. We experience the miraculous supernatural intervention in God, and then we encounter a struggle or a storm and we get terrified. And you can just think from one sequence to the next. Don't we sometimes do this as Christians, from one day to the next, and even let alone from one hour to the next? But the reality is this, and we've got to know this. God didn't tell them to camp at the place of the miracle. You know, so often we would like to say, this is where the miracle took place. We just want to camp here. We don't want to go anywhere. This is the wonderful place. Just keep feeding us. Just keep, you know, producing this stuff. But Jesus always says, go. Because, see, our destiny is not at the camp of the miracle. Our destiny is fulfilling Jesus' purposes for us. That's our destiny. Our destiny is not a place. It's a journey fulfilling his purposes. Matthew 28 says, where Jesus calls his disciples, he says, go and into all the world make disciples, baptizing people, teaching them in my name to obey all that I have shown you. So his purpose is to go. And so we wonder why we don't just stay at that place of miracle, because our purpose is to go. And the thing is, you see, that as we go, we've got to choose now whether we're going as commissioned by Jesus to fulfill his purpose for us, okay, or when we go, we're going to encounter struggles, which is the devil attacking us and we're under attack. Sorry, there were some people wanting to come in. Or whether we're under attack. And we've always got to decide that. Is the storm the issue and the struggle of life, or is the storm the attack of the devil? And I want to say this to you, that the storm is just part of the process of life. It's part of our going. You know, the storms and the struggle, that's just life happening, you know. And so we got to be aware that we can get so focused on the storm and on being under attack that we forget our destiny and our position in Christ, because he has positioned us. And we cannot focus on what we would perceive then to be the attack of the enemy. Now, the enemy cannot attack you and cannot... You're not under attack unless you've allowed him to bind you. I mean, that's a spiritual principle. You know, the word says that the enemy cannot bind us, cannot come and plunder your house and plunder your goods until he binds the strong man, and you are the strong man. So while we are submitted and walking with Christ, we are the strong man. The enemy cannot come and bind us. So And if you allow him to, by going into idolatry or disobedience or living, you know, contrary to the ways of God, well, of course, you give him permission then to come and attack you. But those disciples were just obeying what Christ told them to do. And they encountered this terrible storm. So they were beaten by the waves and they were terrified, it says. And perhaps they thought to themselves in those days, we're under attack. You know, and so often with the waves are around us, we're looking at the storm, we're experiencing the wind, and we feel under attack. Now, this is the amazing thing about the story. They were under attack until they saw Jesus. You see, the minute that they saw Jesus coming, they didn't at first they didn't know who it was. They thought it was a ghost. So in other words, they didn't have a clear perception in their mind of where Jesus is, and when he appeared, would they immediately recognize him? And so often I think, you know, that we go through life and we don't recognize Jesus in different situations. And I mean, Lynn and I have traveled here and traveled all over the place and ministered and done things. And so often you're aware of this struggle and not realizing that Jesus is right there. I mean, we've had some amazing experiences, you know, lost in a city and not knowing where to go. And suddenly a man comes up to you from nowhere and says, can I help you? I'll never forget the story of actually when Lynn and I went on honeymoon and we landed in Vienna on Christmas Eve in the middle of the snowstorm, and there was not one taxi or car available. There was complete holiday. And so we picked up our cases. There was a bus from the airport to the station, and at the station you got up and they said, well, you know, you go where you go. And Lynn and I picked up our cases. In those days, no wheels. And we had on our sort of summer shoes from South Africa. I mean, we had no clue what was happening, you know, in the storms of winter. Picked up our two cases and started walking. Well, my hands just about, well, they did. They froze to the suitcase. And we couldn't walk anymore. And eventually we saw a little, we were sort of in towards the town. And they were, you know, these alcoves when you go into a shop. And we went into the alcove and I thought, this is it. This is where we die. We didn't know. I mean, I knew we were booked into a hotel, but I didn't know where we were going. You know, I didn't know how far it was, exactly where it was. I mean, there was no Google in those days. We're talking about 1970. And we stopped in this little alcove, and a man comes walking down the pavement. Now, there's no cars, no people around, not a soul. And he says, can I help you? I said, you know, could hardly get my hands into my pocket. And I was looking for this hotel. He said, oh, no problem. Just walk 20 meters down there, turn left 10 meters, and turn right, and there your hotel is. Now, if he hadn't told us, I don't know what would have happened. Sometimes we don't, you know, was it just a man? Was it an angel? So sometimes we don't recognize Jesus, and they didn't recognize Jesus. And so they were terrified and thought it was a ghost. But Jesus says to them, do not fear. Take heart. It is I. The minute they see Jesus in the situation, they're not under attack anymore. In the minute they see Jesus, Peter says to him, well, if it's you, Lord Jesus, can I come to you? And Jesus says, come. And he starts walking on top of the water, on top of the storm. So, can you know, I think this is the thing that really strikes me. So often we feel under attack, we're in the storm, because we're not seeing Jesus. Because the minute we see Jesus, we can stand on top of that storm. What is the storm? It's a financial storm. It's a health storm. It's a relationship storm. It's confidence storm, security storm. It's electricity storm, water storm, all the different storms of life. You know, I think the power of this, why is this in the Bible? Just think about it. Why did this all happen that Jesus is going to the other side? Because, you know, I'm going to walk on water, you're going to walk on water, and people are going to learn about this for the rest of their lives. I mean, why did it go in here? Because I believe Jesus is trying to say to us, if you see me in your situation, you will walk in the water on top of the storm. You will walk on top of the storm. You will not be under attack. Because the minute that we encounter the storm and the struggles of life, which are part of life, we've got two confessions we can make. I'm under attack, which gives the devil then authority over us in that storm. Okay, or we confess that Jesus is with me in his, and I'm in his presence, and that's why I just love the songs this morning. Your presence is heaven to me. You can make heaven in that storm. That storm becomes a place of heaven. But it depends what you see and then what you say. What you see and what you say. They were huddled, terrified. They see Jesus, they walk on water. Now, yes, he starts sinking. You know what I mean? Why? And that's what another message there for us, right there. If you take your eyes off Jesus and you start sinking and you cry out to him, his hand is there to lift you up. And that's his promise. So why should we doubt? We've seen the miracles. You know, the Israelites also came out of Egypt, saw the miracles, and there was the presence of God, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They saw the miracles, and having seen the miracles, they doubted. And because they doubted, they didn't enter the promised land. God's heart has always been for his creation, for you and I to dwell in his presence, right from the days of Israel, under the pillar of cloud, under the pillar of fire. That's God's heart, to dwell in his presence. Then Jesus comes and says, it's no longer going to be a pillar of cloud and fire, but my life, my spirit is going to be in you, and you're going to live in my presence. I in you and you in me. If you go and read John 14, so many scriptures that promise it. And I just so want us to grasp this, that it's, once they saw Jesus, every storm gets transformed into a place of heaven. We see Jesus, the fear is gone, there's no attack, we're walking on water. And we're walking on water because two things. Okay, number one, Jesus is the risen Savior. You know, Matthew 28 says, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has been raised. Come and see the place where he lay. He's not here. He has been raised. So there are two promises. Now, that's the first one. So we all know that. So this is a fundamental thing. He's not dead in the tomb. He has been raised. And then in Matthew 28, when he commissions them and says, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And he says this, I am with you always to the end of the age. Number one, he has risen. Number two, he goes to extreme lengths to say, I'm sending you, you're going to go, but know this, I am with you. And then, as I said, John 14, you know, goes into that again and again and again. He is with us. His presence is with us. His presence is in us. He is in us and we are in him. You know, together with the command that Jesus gave us, go into all the world, comes a promise. It's not just go. There is a promise attached to it. And the promise is this, I am with you always. It's not just a historical fact. It's not just a religious idea. It's a life-changing reality. When I see Christians living crippled, you know, in a sense, and unable to go through life, losing their confidence, you know, living in insecurity and all the challenges that come through the world, we've lost this. Jesus went to a lot of effort to say to us, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. It's a promise. I'll be with you. The resurrection isn't just an historical fact. It's a life-changing reality. And God's promises that as you go about fulfilling his commission, the presence of the resurrected Jesus goes with you. The presence of the resurrected Jesus goes with us as we go about life, as we go about fulfilling his purposes. And for me, you know, walking in my family life, that's part of Jesus' purpose. That my family would be a testament to the glory of God, to the goodness of God. You know, he is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I'm fulfilling his purpose in everybody that I see each day that I talk to. Every single moment, my life is given to fulfilling the purposes of God, to reveal the glory of his name. Now, if you deter from that and just go and do your own thing, then this doesn't apply to us. But hear this, the enemy wants us to doubt and not believe these things and not to live in it. And I want us to move today from the point of believing to the point of being. Because that's the difference. You see, there are a lot of people that believe. In fact, even the demons believe that Jesus is one and shudder, the Bible tells us in James. The demons believe and shudder. But Jesus Christ is not their Lord and Savior. And they're not on the purpose of fulfilling his commission in life. And so for us, this is actually not a complicated thing. You know, it's just a simple act of receiving it, believing it, trusting it, and then seeing Jesus every moment in our life as we fulfill his purpose and commission for us. Then we can declare that we are under the blood, not under attack. You know, we encounter storms, we encounter the struggles of life. Do not see every one of them as attack on the enemy. Do not confess that in any way. Because either you have sinned and you need to repent and come back to the Lord, or otherwise you're just fulfilling the purposes that you're on the journey of life where there are storms. But the minute we say, I'm under attack, we start giving our minds the power to doubt, the minds the power to then come up with all kinds of ideas, which then starts binding the strong man whom you are. Because remember I said to you, you are the strong man. Mark 3:27 says, no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. How does it tie up the strong man? When we start doubting and confessing that we're living under attack. And people tend to think, you know, it's amazing how often comes out of our mouths. And I mean, it's a natural, in a sense, you know, worldly thing to think when we encounter storms and struggles. I'm under attack. But it's not heaven. It's not the kingdom of God. And there are two kingdoms that we need to be aware of. See, even Jesus, when he was baptized, went into the desert. And it says the Spirit led him into the desert. Why? Because I think for us to see that there are two kingdoms. But every time the devil came against Jesus, he says, it is written. It is written. It is written. And Jesus' ministry was launched after he manifested authority over the enemy. It was then done and settled. And you know what? He's done that for us. So that our authority in God has been established. We don't have to go and battle the devil. It's been done. But we have to be ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ. It is written. I'm not going to receive that doubt. I'm not going to confess that I'm under attack. The minute something starts coming against us and the struggle comes against us, I just say, thank you for your presence, Jesus. Thank you. I'm under the blood. And you have paid the price for me. And if Jesus, you will feed 5,000, you will feed me. Amen. It's not a big deal. And wherever we need at that time, Jesus is there to meet us. There's so many promises. So many promises. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He's our deliverer. He's our savior. He's a stronghold. He's the shepherd that is protecting me, leading me, guiding me. I just love this verse from Exodus 15, verses 6 to 7. It says, your hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. It's been done. This is in Genesis and in Exodus. Never mind what Jesus has done. Shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumed them like stubble. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? How can we say we're under attack when we serve a God who created heaven and earth? Doing wonders, awesome in power. You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed up our enemies. In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them by your strength to your holy abode, to your holy place. We are being guided by the strength of God into his holy presence all the time. Jesus wants us in his presence more than we want to be in his presence. That's Jesus' whole mission, to reveal his presence to us, to live in us, that we live in him and we live and walk in his presence and fulfill his purpose and destiny for us. That's the whole thing. So what do? Well, we have got to develop the presence of Jesus on a continual basis, every single day. We have to develop the presence of Jesus. First thing in the morning, get up, develop, see Jesus with you. Talk to him, move with him, abide with him. See, it's not about seeking another miracle. And I think this is where Christians fall down. They get up and say, I need a miracle today. Hey, this doesn't happen today, I'm in trouble. How many of you have ever No, none of you. How many know somebody who's thought that? You know what I mean? I need another miracle today. I need this financial miracle. I need that miracle. I need this. I need that. Oh, we've all done it. I've done it. And you get up thinking, if I don't have this miracle today, I'm finished. Well, that's a good confession to start off with. You know, it's not about that. It's not about looking for another miracle. It's living in the miracle that you have, which is the presence of God, which is the presence of Christ in me. It's living in Him and Him in me, abiding in Him because His presence is heaven to me, and that is our miracle. Do you remember the book that we gave you last year? I don't know how many of you got to read that little book. Living in the miracle is living in His presence. Then I can see the 5,000 healed, fed. I can see the storm calmed. I can see the situation, that situation changed. That's the miracle. But when you live expecting and hoping for a miracle that doesn't happen, then what do? We get into disappointment. We get into doubt. We get into hopelessness because it hasn't happened. When our eye is on that event, and our eye is just subtly removed from seeing Jesus and abiding in Him and His presence in me. So I literally practice that. I get up and I think, I go to the basin, brush my teeth. Thank you, Jesus, you're with me. I'm just going to brush my teeth now. You know, I just literally try and practice. Get in my car, driving down. Thank you, Jesus, you're driving with me. Walk in the shop. You're walking with me. I don't walk anywhere unless I see Jesus walking with me in that sense. Because that's what the Word says. He is in me, I am in Him. His presence is heaven to me, and I'm walking with Him. So we have to practice that because we leak, as a human being, we leak the presence of God. You know, we leak the awareness of it. Let's not be like the disciples who've just seen Jesus feed 5,000 in the ship, and He's walking on the water, and they don't recognize Him. I want to recognize Him. Do I see Him all the time? I know He's with me all the time. I'm absolutely, totally convinced there's nothing you can do to the fact that I am in Him and He is in me. If I don't believe that, then I've got to go right back to salvation. So I absolutely believe that. But His manifest presence, I see stronger at sometimes and not as strong at sometimes. His manifest presence. But the minute I'm going to encounter someone, I stand at my desk, thank you, Jesus, that you're with me here in the Spirit. Thank you. That's His promise. I will be with you always until the end of the earth. And that is our miracle. You know, in position for blessing, which of course you know that we run, people come in there. There was one, again, just last week at Harvest. And people say this to me every single time, because the whole key of position for blessing is bringing people into the presence of Jesus. They come in with these wounds, with this shame, with this brokenness, with rape situations and all kinds of terrible situations, and we just bring them into an encounter with Jesus. And somebody said to me last week, she said, you know, Drummond, I actually want to take a photograph of people when they come in, and after Friday night, I want to take a picture. Complete change in the whole facial expression. Complete change. And it's just simply that, you know, we could teach them for 7 months, you know, we could give them all kinds of things to do over and over, hundreds of things. But when we bring them into the presence of Jesus, that's it. The storm is gone and people are set free. Once we were doing a course, and there was a psychologist in there, in this one group. And we listened to the people's sharing some of the things that they were walking through. And I said, that's okay, this is just the introduction group. We haven't even started the group yet. This is just to get to know each other. What's your name? What do you do? And after that, the psychologist said to me, oh my gosh, you can't carry on like this with, you know, 8 people in this group. This is like 2 years of counseling. You know, these are some serious things. It's actually unethical for you to begin from a psychological point of view to actually do this. I said, well, just wait for group one. We haven't got to group one yet. In group one, we just saw people just set free and transformed. As we just invited Jesus into that situation, they began to see Jesus. And they begin to see Jesus every single time this happens. Their life is transformed because heaven is made real in the storm. Heaven is made real in the storm. So let's just stand up together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. that you promised that your presence would be with us. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now. We can stand in your premise, your presence, because you have promised that presence to us. Forgive me, Lord, we have taken my eyes off you and I've looked at the storm. I've looked at the wind. I've looked at the magnitude of my problem. I've even got up and, in a good sense, Lord, have thought to myself, I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying for a miracle. Instead of looking at you and finding you in my storm, who is the miracle. Forgive us, Lord, where we've allowed doubt to creep in and disappointment to creep in. And today, Father, I just thank you that you are the Savior that fed the 5,000. You can meet me in my storm, in my situation, through your promise, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that you abide in me, that we can abide in you.
Thanks for tuning in. I pray that the message of God's word will build your faith and develop a hope that is so strong it's like an anchor for your soul. Go ahead and subscribe, and why not share the message with a friend?